You're listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 501.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoor Station. Well, now all the fuss over the 500th podcast is well and truly over. Let's get back to what we do best, talking to people with a love and appreciation of the outdoors. The day after I launched number 500, a regular listener, Lee Wagstaff, wrote to me and said, "My wife works in a local primary school and arranges and teaches all things outdoor. This can be canoeing, stream scrambling, outdoor trekking, etc. She recently told me of a local charity called the Thomas Thayer Foundation in Buxton. They are all about recycling outdoors kit and clothing in order to raise money to build an outdoor centre. If you have a read of the Foundation's website, all will be explained, but I thought they may well be worth interviewing on the show, as it's covering the environmental aspects with regards to reuse rather than replace or put in landfill." So I contacted Chris Thayer, one of the founders of this very small local charity, and she explains how it all started following the sad death of her son, Thomas. Incidentally, all the links to everything discussed on this broadcast can, of course, be found over on the show notes on theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
We set the foundation up in 2013 after the death of our son Thomas. It became a registered charity in 2015. Thomas was 18 when he died. He would be 24 now. He died as a result of a fall. He was on a hill quite well known in the local Peak District area called Parkhouse Hill. And he died as a result of falling from there. Before his fall, Thomas was very much involved in our local running club, Buxton Athletics Club, which he joined because he had additional needs. And we found that the exercise really helped Thomas to have better physical skills, but also help with his confidence and his communication. So we set the foundation up because we wanted to support other people, young people like Thomas, who had additional needs, and give them an opportunity to do outdoor activities, but in a safe environment. Thomas was really, really very kind, never did anything sort of bad in his whole life. And the other reason for doing the charity is we want to do something in his name, because he was just really kind.
Now, looking on the website, I see that he had dyspraxia and ADHD. For people that obviously hear those terms in the news on a regular basis or irregular basis, what actually is it like to live with somebody that has those symptoms?
Well, Thomas, the dyspraxia element of his issues meant that he had coordination problems when he was small. So, for example, one of the things he would have done if he was walking along, he might be touching a wall to sort of get stability, to feel balance. He had hyperflexic joints, which meant he was very bendy. That's the best way I can put it. So sort of his fingers could bend back. And we did a lot of exercises with Thomas to strengthen his muscles and to help his coordination. The mental element of dyspraxia is that there's an element of confusion. So the way I tend to think of it is, if you are a person with dyslexia, you have word confusion, whereas Thomas had confusion in comprehending things. So he would take things very literally, for example. He would take everything on face value. He needed quite a lot of support. He could be quite robotic, so if he did something, he would do it repeatedly and do it well. But he needed support, he needed guidance. They tend to class attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder now as all as ADHD or ADD. So for Thomas, he was found it difficult to concentrate, or he might even over concentrate on something. So he could get quite fixated on something, or he would find it difficult to concentrate. But he didn't have the hyperactivity element of, I guess if you could imagine a small child who can't sit still, Thomas wasn't like that, but he would fidget a lot, but he wouldn't be running around doing anything too manic or too difficult.
And at what sort of stage or what sort of age did you become aware that outdoor activities and running was of benefit to him?
When Thomas was about 12 or 13, when we were out walking, he would run a little bit. And when he was 14, I contacted the local running club. That's when he got involved with the juniors at our local athletics club. But from a point of view of outdoor activity, or at least just being outside, we've always done that. But the running really started when he was about 14, 15.
And was he a successful runner?
He wasn't a winner. He had great potential. He was usually sort of towards the in the top 25%, but he hadn't won anything when he was before he died. The main benefits for Thomas of running were that he had a social element to being part of our local running club. And the physical well-being. He ran with the club every Monday and Thursday, but he ran every day from home. He would have a run every day after college. So it was his mental benefit as well as the physical benefit it gave him. He didn't have a lot of friends of his own age. He didn't go out and do the sort of things 17-year-olds might do. Because it just wasn't in his nature to be that way. So the people he knew were the people at the running club, and they were almost like another family to him. So it was the physical and the mental benefit he got from running.
So that was Thomas's background, and obviously the sad passing at 18, and you started the charity. But the looking at the website, I see you've got a long-term aim. Would you like to tell me a bit about that?
Yes, we're looking to build a lodge. We call it a lodge. I could really describe it as a small sort of cottage type building at Whitehall Outdoor Education Centre, which is on the outskirts of Buxton in the Peak District. It's a fantastic centre, but it's quite an old building. So we are looking to build this lodge so that people like Thomas can go and do outdoor activities, but be accommodated in an environment that is suitable for them. Additionally, we want to use the lodge for respite breaks for families. So that is our big goal. And we're working towards that all the time. But in the meantime, we are paying, for example, in the next 12 months, we're paying for 280 children who have either additional needs or difficult life circumstances. We are paying for those children to go and do outdoor activities at Whitehall Centre. So the big goal is the building, but we're not waiting just for that. We're trying to support those young people now.
When you sign up for the Outdoor Station newsletter, you have the option to give us feedback on our shows. You also have the opportunity to suggest people of interest you would like to hear more about. You can also suggest UK campsites, which you feel may be unique, and cottage manufacturers who would appreciate a little exposure to our wider audience.
The Outdoor Station, sharing the passion, appreciation and understanding for the outdoors world.
All I know that obviously there's a lot of fundraising you must be doing to be doing this short-term and long-term aim. And this interview has come as a result of one of my listeners, Lee Wegstaff, who suggested that we get in touch with you because as an additional part of your fundraising activity, and also which links nicely back into sort of the outdoors world and certainly outdoors people in the Buxton area, is that you started a shop where you're recycling outdoor gear. Would that be a good description?
Well, we call the shop, it's an outdoor charity shop. So it's a sports and outdoor charity shop rather. So it is a charity shop, but we only stock sports and outdoor clothing and equipment. So we have everything that's related to the outdoors, from running gear through to cricket, horse riding. If it's anything to do with outdoors or fitness, we're stocking it. It is a charity shop, so it is donated items, but we get fantastic items. We get brand new walking boots. We get all sorts of things. And I think one of the primary aims of the shop was we needed a shop front for the charity. We needed somewhere to develop the local awareness of the charity. So it's almost that the primary aim of the shop is to develop our local awareness, and the selling of the clothing and equipment is how we're doing that. What we particularly like about the shop is that we get a lot of families in, and as we all know, children grow very quickly out of all their clothing and equipment. So, you know, they're able to pick up things which are cost effective as well. So the shop's lovely. It's absolutely beautiful. We have a wall of pictures in the shop which shows all the fundraising that people have done for us, wearing our yellow charity T-shirt tops, our technical running tops. So that's what the shop is all about. And we would like to open another one in the future if we can find a suitable premises, because it's been very well received.
So for all the outdoors people listening to this who, like me, are complete and utter gear monsters and can't help but gather far too much stuff until the partner in your life says, you can't buy that unless you get rid of this, how would they send or be able to send any items they have to you or to your shop?
Because we're only a small charity, we can't really collect anything. So we are reliant on people bringing things to us. But they can contact us at the shop. They can ring us. I can give you the phone number if you want. Would you like
phone number, or probably because people will be listening to this as they probably commuting or whatever, the website would be good. And also I'll put a link to the website and the telephone number, if you wish, in the show notes as well.
Yes, yeah, sure. The website is www.thomasthayerfoundation.org.uk, which is quite a mouthful, I appreciate. And the telephone number is 01298 70071. And yes, if people just come, if they are interested in coming along, and if they have donations, we have parking outside the shop. And it would be wonderful to receive more good stock, really.
So anybody's listening to this that may be considering going up to the Peak District and the Buxton area, obviously, any time up towards Christmas, say, I'm sure it'll be popular time, but any time going for a walk up there, do have a thought about popping into the shop. You might find a bargain yourself by the sound of it, but at the same time, it's a good way to get rid of that stuff before you get the next stuff, which we'll all fall victim to. And so from the way you're talking and from what I've seen online, it's actually proven to be a great success as being a sort of a themed shop as opposed to a general all-round clothing shop, I guess.
Yes, it's a bit of an old saying, isn't it? But if we had a pound for everybody who came in and said, wow, what a great idea this is, and wow, we've never seen a charity shop like this before, then we'd probably be well on our way to raising the money for the Whitehall Lodge. It really is it's, you know, it's quite unique, and we really love it. And the local people are very supportive. But even not just the local people, we have a lot of visitors to Buxton. With it being in the middle of the Peak District, we get a lot of people who are away for a walking weekend, or they've come to do outdoor activities, and they're loving the shop as well.
And so the shop's proving to be a success. I don't think you told me how long the shop's been running.
We opened in January 2017, so we have been open nearly 2 years now. We are a very small charity, so we're growing slowly, and the awareness of the shop is now growing. And I suppose this is an example of that, that one of your listeners has contacted you yourself. It is growing, the awareness, but of course, at the moment, we're a very small team, and unless somebody actually knows about the shop, we're limited at the moment in our marketing.
That's understandable, because it obviously takes a lot of time, money and effort to keep putting the message out there, and it's not a cheap hobby to do. So again, people, if you're listening to this and you're anywhere in the Buxton, Derbyshire area, then please pass the message on. Talk to your friends next time you go up a hill and mention this, because obviously it's in everybody's interest, and the long-term aim is obviously the Whitehall Education Centre is the main goal. And how are you going on your actual global fundraising? Is it moving forward in a steady amount for you?
Yes, we've raised over 150,000 so far, and we really are a small team. Initially, it was just myself and volunteers. Now we have an excellent fundraising manager called Sharon Stanley. We've done a lot of events, and one of the things that happens when people come in the shop, unfortunately for them, they tend to get a bit of a grilling, because we will say, what are you interested in? And are you a visitor? And why are you here? And quite often they will say, well, I'm a runner or I'm a cyclist. And then we try and encourage them to maybe think, if they're doing anything, if they would do it for the charity. So if they are taking part in an event, if they would consider fundraising for us. And that's been amazing. We've just had some people do the London Prudential bike ride. We have people that have run the London Marathon for us. We had a gentleman who just called in the shop about 4 months ago, and he was doing the Gritstone Trail, so he did that for the charity. So that's just lovely, you know, that our customers not only bring us new donations and buy things, but also that they help us with our fundraising. So that's been great.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing about fundraising, if you're doing something as a small team and your circle of friends or contacts is the same circle, it's very hard to keep going back to the same people for donations. So it's good that you're reaching out to different communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're well aware of that. You just can't keep asking the same people, as we all know, you know, even when we do things ourselves, when my husband takes part in swims, we don't want to keep asking people, because you're just asking the same group of people. And it is about spreading that net further and further to help us achieve our goals. We are also offering counselling services from next year for young people and their parents and carers. So we're actively increasing what we're doing. And it's with the help of the fundraising that we're able to do this.
Have you got any stories of people that you've introduced to, shall we say, the outdoors and activities, and that they've seen any benefits?
We've got a lot of school children now that have benefited through going up to Whitehall, and we've got some great feedback from how that has helped them. I would say a lot of the people that come in the shop are outdoor fitness enthusiasts anyway. So from that point of view, the school children are benefiting. But from a point of view of our customers, they're already doing it. And we have one gentleman who did 50 fell races in his 50th year for us. He called it 50 Shades of Fell. And that was a wonderful activity. You know, he was doing two fell races some weeks. So it just feels like a great camaraderie, you know, amongst people who enjoy the outdoors, and we're getting that support from them and we're giving it back. We're trying to give it back as much as we can while still raising money for the main build for the lodge.
So before we wind up with this then, is there anything that's happening between now and Christmas that anybody in the Buxton area should be aware of and could perhaps come along and join in?
Yes, we've got a Lake of Lights event, which is on Saturday the 7th of December at the Pavilion Gardens in Buxton. This is an event that we've decided to do, which it's outside, but it's not a fitness event. We want to give people the opportunity to remember somebody that they may have lost. And I think personally, because as a family, we have found Christmas very, very difficult since Thomas died. And we recognise that people have lost children and other members of their family. It's not just obviously because we've lost our son. It's the whole feeling that if you've lost somebody, Christmas can be a difficult time. So this event is taking place in the Pavilion Gardens, 5:15 until 7:15 p.m. From a fundraising point of view, we're asking people if they want to come along to dedicate a light to somebody, and to do that via our Facebook page or via our website. And we have a Just Giving campaign called Lake of Lights. And it's a minimum donation of £5 for a light to remember somebody. And we're going to have, we're floating the lights out onto the boating lake, and there will be some laser activity just to finish the event off.
Well, that's a lovely way to do both things, really. Have a moment for your thoughts and think of the people that you may have lost, as well as obviously a small donation going towards a very worthwhile cause, which is being fed back into the community. I think it's a lovely thing to do.
Okay, so one more thing I could say, which is, as a small charity, we always need help. So we need volunteers and we need expertise. And if anybody feels that they have anything that would be relevant to us, we'd be more than happy to hear from them. And it would be appreciated.
My thanks to Chris for taking the time to chat. And it's great to hear there is such positive local support for this charity, who reinvests the time, support and money to those like Thomas and their families to get access to outdoor activities and respite accommodation. And this includes children living with difficult life circumstances, such as young carers and those who have lost a parent or sibling. So come on, guys and gals, don't go to major shopping complexes this weekend. What could be nicer than a shopping trip up to this little shop located in the centre of Buxton? You can A, keep your partner happy by setting some of your old gear free to a good home, and B, possibly picking up something you always wanted at a little bit of a bargain. If you're like Lee Wagstaff and know people you think I should be talking to, please join the newsletter and let me know. Or simply send me an email just like he did. Details and, of course, all the links to everything we've discussed on this podcast can be found over on theoutdoorstation.co.uk. So until next time, folks, take care out there. It's getting very chilly. And remember to wrap up warm. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorsstation.co.uk.